Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Care to Read. You have the Omienka 7 in the house, your advisor, the one you certainly need, and your advocate, the one you want. And welcome to Care to Read. Our phone number here in this room is 646-478-0270. And for my listeners out there, we invite you to come in now and take a seat and prepare your question. And for those newcomers, please do join us. Our segment 16 that we're working on this evening is also pertaining to health education. And as is and as always, before we start our show, we do have a ritual for you. We go through a traditional ritual for African families. And African families, please join us in this ritual. And by the way, how is the African family doing this evening? And how are the children? Just fine, I think. And I am because we are, and because we are, therefore I am. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to a station identification so I can get all cleaned up for our ritual, our traditional ritual. Then we'll be right back at you in the air.
I'll be brief. I won't hold you up like some comfy. I'll get straight to the point. In no time, I'll have you up out of this joint. I'll be sure. I won't keep you like you're in some jury court, waiting while debating which plaintiff's case will prevail, or deciding which one will go to jail. Yes, I'll hurry. You don't have to worry. I'm already fixing to get ready to go. So before anyone hits the door, just remember, I still have the floor. I'm a poet, for those of you who don't know it, and it's been my real intention to show it.
And once again, thanks for hanging in there, being a part of the show. You have your Omienka 7 in the house, ready to serve you. As I prepare for the ritual, we are getting the ritual ceremony ready, and my assistant will be coming in to introduce my other assistant that will be providing help with the daily ritual. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you know how important it is, but you must have tradition in your family. African Americans, you simply have to have tradition in your family. It is definitely important. And because of our tradition, we do ask our elders in the audience, do we have permission to speak? And I'm looking for an elder out there right now to see if I can spot one, to ask the elder if I have permission to speak.
Yes, you do have permission to speak. I said, yes, I'm an elder, and I'm giving you permission to speak.
Thank you very much. We found the elder in the audience, and I look to my right, and I also see if my ancestors are available here to be present here in a room with us. I ask for my assistant to come forward. I'm going to open up the lines now to say hello to our assistant. Hello.
Yes, speaking.
Okay, who are you?
I am your host, Terrell Garth.
Oh, thank you very much, my sisters in the audience. And we're going to call forth one of our elders to come over to assist us. Can you please introduce our elders?
Yes, I would like to introduce Jamel Harvey.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Yes, I'm going to ask my elder here to give me a prayer done in a native tongue before we start the ceremony. Jamel, you have the air.
We're going to leave the native tongue out so that we don't confuse the people. We pray to the Most High Deity of all. We ask that God Almighty put his blessings on each and every one of us today, and that this program goes over successful and the wisdom of the program can be delivered to the people. And we ask for the understanding of all in the audience and blessings for prosperity for each and every one of our families. Amen.
Thank you very much, Janelle. Thank you for that prayer. And ladies and gentlemen, as you get yourself ready, entering into sanctuary, entering into holiness, I want you to know that you are standing on holy ground. And I ask that you participate as we call out our heroes and heroes' names. It's important that we acknowledge them, and we also acknowledge our personal ancestors. And as I call their names out, you can join with me by saying Ashe. You can join with me by saying Ashe. And ladies and gentlemen, I think I explained to you that Ashe means so be it, so let it be done. It's very important that we have agreement here in the audience today. And as I call the names, we will start our ceremony. Benjamin Banneker.
Ashe.
George Washington Carver.
Ashe.
Harriet Tubman.
Ashe.
Langston Hughes.
Ashe.
Louis Armstrong. Ashe.
Ashe.
Leontine Price. Ashe.
Ashe.
Malcolm X. Ashe. Madam C. J. Walker. Ashe.
Ashe.
Marian Anderson. Ashe.
Ashe.
Nina Simone. Ashe.
Ashe.
Ralph Bundy. Ashe.
Ashe.
Rosa Parks. Ashe.
Ashe.
Scott Joplin. Ashe.
Ashe.
Surge in the Truth. Ashe.
Ashe.
W.E.B. Du Bois. Ashe.
Ashe.
And Zora Neale Hurston.
Ashe. Ashe.
Join in with me, ladies and gentlemen, as I call out the names of my personal ancestors. Clara Mae Jenkins. Ashe.
Ashe.
My mother. Robert Jenkins. Ashe.
Ashe.
My father. Tommy Pete Harvey. Ashe. Also a father.
Ashe.
Ashe. Mary Lou Hawkins. Ashe.
Ashe.
Eugene Lilly. Ashe.
Ashe.
Isa Lilly. Ashe.
Ashe.
Sam Lilly. Ashe.
Ashe.
George Lilly. Ashe.
Ashe.
Michelle Harvey. Ashe.
Ashe.
Michael Harvey. Ashe.
Ashe.
Essely Pope. Ashe.
Ashe.
Ruby Bracken. Ashe.
Ashe.
Aunt Mitchell. Ashe.
Ashe.
Aunt Bessie Lily. Ashe.
Ashe.
Aunt Isa Lily. Ashe.
Ashe.
So be it, so let it be done. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have things you would like to call out, we would like to thank our assistants for helping us with the Ashe to confirm and seal this acclamation. If you have family members that you would like to call out, please do call their names out. It is up to the living to stay in contact with the dead, and we are responsible for our elders and for our ancestors' well-being. Make sure each day you also remember them when you bake a certain baked good. If you serve a special dish, remember them. Set a plate aside for them. This is the appropriate way to perform, ladies and gentlemen. They have not left you. They are still in the atmosphere. Their energies cannot dissipate. They are still with you. Remember that energy can never die. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we also acknowledge our flag, and we remember that we do have a country and a land base in Africa. So in remembering our flag, we say our pledge. Here's to the flag of mine, the red, black, and green. Hope in its future bright, Africa has seen. Here's to the red of it, great nations shall know of it in time to come. Red, pardon me, ladies and gentlemen. Here's to the red of it, great nations shall know of it in time to come. Red blood shall flow of it, historians shall write of it, great flag of mine. Here's to the black of it, 400 million back of it, whose destiny depend on it, red, black, and green of it, old flag of mine. Here's to the green of it, young men shall dream of it, face shot and shelled of it, maidens shall sing of it, waving so high. Here's to the whole of it, colors broad and pole of it, please, here's my soul with it, regardless of what is told of it. Thanks to God for giving it, great flag of mine. Ladies and gentlemen, that pledge is done for the benefit of the children. If the children are in the audience, please invite them to come closer and explain to them that they have a tradition and not just a heritage. We honor our colors of our flag. And ladies and gentlemen, you will at one point think of Africa as your homeland and will long to go back there at one point and to visit and possibly even take dual citizenship. Ladies and gentlemen, as the drums play quietly behind you, why don't you transform yourself and remember what it was for your sisters and brothers who passed through the Middle Passage, the struggle that it took them to come across the sea and the ocean. Many did not make it. Some are yet at bay. And those ancestors who might be on their way here who didn't make it across the Middle Passage, we do have a Biafra. Just as the Jews celebrate their Holocaust, African people, I want you to celebrate your Biafra. We made it across those rivers and those oceans. And we stand here on the shoulders of our ancestors. And because of the travel that they made and the journey, we are able to stand here unmolested. African people, we are free today, but only to the extent of our consciousness. If you want to be truly free in your spirit, find a way to reconnect to your ancestors and your higher self every day by speaking their names, calling their names, playing their talking drums, and speaking to the atmosphere. Those ancestors know you by name. They need not answer you back. You will know that they're present by the fact that they have opened every doorway for you. Every window that they have been shut, they have opened and made the way plain for you. It is important that we promise to our tradition. It is important that we acknowledge our fine tradition. Our traditions make up the world. The world has developed reasoning, consciousness from our tradition. We service the whole world, not only just a nation, but Africa was the center of the earth where all civilizations come from. I need not tell you that the research is already there of that dish, the one they call Lucy. The bones of Lucy were found, and we now know that from her loins, all civilizations sprung. It is no longer a secret. Ladies and gentlemen, you can explore that documentation. It is available for you in our library. We need not guess or wonder. We only need to understand that we are great people. And because we are great people, there are much things that we are responsible for inventing and creating here in this earth. We only need to rise up for the occasion. Europeans, they know our history better than we do. And sometimes they have been waiting for us to wake up. So if we wake up and they write the story about us, we also need to be writing our own story. We need to be telling our children that there is more than just a myth. There's more than just a folklore, but there is a traditional heritage. Your heritage is important, people. very important. Why don't you wake up? Or are you in a spell? Have you been anesthetized? Or are you sleeping your life away? Maybe you don't know who you are, and somebody needs to jog you and wake you. Join us today as we talk about understanding of consciousness today. And in this segment, we're hoping that all will be awakened today, and we need not judge you any further, that the spell that you have been under, you will come out of that spell. And mothers, teach your children, spend time telling them of the greatness of the ancestors, not just of the African Americans, but of the ancient ones, the Nubians, the great Nubian queens and kings. Talk to them about Egypt and let them know that Egypt still is in Africa. And if you can, make that journey home one day. Take your children so that they can see the scribes of the walls and they can see our story that's told. It is very important that we see and read our story for ourselves. If you are still searching for why you cannot stand up erect, or for why you are still depressed and you feel you have nothing to offer, if you are a Nubian, you are a part of something great. The Sphinx were left here with the body of an animal and the head of a man to remind you and us of who we once were. Of who we once were. A great people from a great nation. A people that need to understand that you are responsible for part of the civilization that was created. Yes, you were. You do know that you have connection to Egypt and to Africa. And as we look for that Garden of Eden, we need not look too far up in the sky, but over in Arcadia land is where the Garden of Eden lies. It is ours, ladies and gentlemen. It is ours to reconnect to. And Mother Nature and Mother Africa has called us back home and has given us land to be a part of their society. They have called you back home and apologized openly to the public for slavery. And they have asked you to beg their apology. Some of you have read the history, and there are those who have not, but know that they have begged their pardon for the slavery that we've gone through. But you need not let yourself go back in slavery again by allowing your mind to be overtaken. You can wake up today. You can come out of this spell whenever you get ready. It is your choice. And I implore you to wake up and be a part of a civilization that was once great. I'd like to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining me and going on this voyage with me. I'd like to thank the mothers and the fathers for teaching and showing the children. And we know we cannot have an African village if we do not raise up a parent and a household. That is the only way that we can raise up a village is to raise up a parent. And I thank you, parents, for going back, getting knowledge and understanding of self so that you can matriculate that to the children. Ladies and gentlemen, as we wind down this ceremony, I ask that you to get prepared for our show today. Taking deep breaths and breathing in and out, bringing yourself back down to a relaxation. We thank you, and we also give you high homage today. Thank the ancestors for allowing them to let us stand on their shoulders. I am free because I am conscious of who I am. You must know yourself and become conscious. They say that our way has left us, and it is no more. They say that the African consciousness in Egypt does not belong to us. They say that we are not a part of that ancient history. The question is, whose report do you believe? We are part of that ancient history and have been for some time now. We are old people, and we have been here before. Our ancestors only have reincarnated into our young children. Reincarnation means that they will never die, but they will live on forever and ever and ever. Amen. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being a part of that ritual. And as I let the song play out, I want the family to know that this is a consumer science family underwritten by Project 2019. Our mission and goal is to close the gap of disparity of illiteracy, ignorance, and stupidity. It's to bring about information and make it plentiful and knowledgeable for you. And it's always allow you the opportunity to access information. Our subject that we will be talking about today is Montessori leadership and also talking about Montessori in the home, the AMI concept and the IMS concept. How do you obtain the training? How do you get the endorsements for Montessori? And what is Montessori? And who was Maria Montessori? Join me in that lecture as we go into the session, as I pause right now to get ready for that session. Thank you. Give you the My Brother the Medicine Man.
Medicine Man, read by the author Sherelle Omiika Bidiako Garth. My brother, the Medicine Man, or some folk call him the Root Doctor Man, but I call him the Naturopathic Man, the doctor who holds healing in his hands, the good bedside mal-mannered man that writes with the pen in the palm of his left hand. Mixing herbs, roots, tinctures, and fusions. Please wait before you start any confusion by drawing the wrong conclusion about him mixing up these fusions. Don't go getting any notion. Why, he's only mixing up herbs and potions together to help ailing folks who have become a little under the weather. Ever since I can remember, why, he's been the doctor in the house. I've always been one of his faithful students, following him around like a mouse, charting the course of the life of an herb from the time I was in the classroom learning to conjugate a verb. I've known that it's been far better to learn the uses of an herb. He teaches me how to mix a little pinch of this and an ounce or two of that when I'm laid out flat on my back. What he really doesn't know is that I'm a natural as a fact at putting herbs together and all sorts of things like that. Mugwort, milk thistles, lady's nettle, and stinging nettle, and all the life cycle changes that a woman goes through, from menstruation to menopause. Facing all these strains and pains is like going through withdrawals, sipping on hawthorn berry, rosemary, raspberry, and blessed thistle. I must be careful not to miss the sound of the teapot's blowing whistle. He's in the kitchen now, brewing up some tea. Pardon me while I go in to see. When I'm in the kitchen fixing supper, I have learned to mix up herbs for kinfolk who suffer. We are like two peas in a pot. We admire each other a whole lot. Born a day apart, why, I had a whole year on him right from the start, which made it kind of hard. Even though I am the oldest and we are both born in the same month, I never take advantage of him by trying to pull rank or front. Why, I can remember when he first went on the air to address the people on the topic of detoxification. The people were full of it. Why, they weren't fit. He responded with repercussion by avoiding any repercussion. Some days he'll run his own botanica shop. And if you're ever in the area, Don't forget to stop to have your eyes checked and your feet reflexed.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining the Care to Read Room. You have your Omiika 7 in the house ready to serve you. Our topic for this evening is Montessori in the home, Montessori leadership, and Montessori equipment what is Montessori AMI and what is Montessori AMS? Now, this is not a topic to talk specifically about the concept of Maria Montessori. It is so vast, we would need a whole week to go over all of that. We'll be speaking on the surface to give you a bit of information and a breadth of knowledge, not a depth of knowledge. And if you don't know what that is, a depth of knowledge is a full-blown briefing on a subject. However, we'll be touching on the surface, so you will have to go back and do continuation of exploring and research. Now, Maria Montessori, when starting her program, was a doctor. Maria Montessori decided that in working with the inner city children, that she wanted something for children that was challenged, meaning that they had some type of deficit or disability, and she wanted to work with the urban city children that would possibly be the minority children in Italy in that area. And as she prepared her equipment and her material for environment, the equipment was primarily to work with families of lower socioeconomic area. However, in putting her materials together, it was so successful that it became known as an elitist curriculum, a curriculum where rich people would adapt their program to it. Maria Montessori has American Montessori International, and then there is the International Montessori that deals with Europe and endorsement. So the American Montessori was also formalized in their licensing, and that is what some of the ladies are licensed up under, the MIS for the United States program. Maria Montessori's name was apparently not trademarked, so a number of organizations were able to utilize it. And in her curriculum is primarily based on environment. She has broken her program down to the sensorians, which would be working specifically with the household equipment, such as washing dishes, polishing silver, sorting, working with the didactics that would allow the child to classify. And each one of her areas in the environment in the classroom has to be set up in a certain fashion because of the way that John Dewey once thought units and sections had to be set up that would flow for the child. And Maria Montessori's program is set up in the same manner so that the child naturally flows to those areas and is drawn to those areas. Therefore, the child teaches himself. He is adduced and drawn into those areas. However, there is a process before the child can go into the environment and touch anything on the shelves. They must, as a criteria, their rules and laws, they should and must have been introduced to that particular work. And the jobs are called work. The children go to work, okay? And prior to the children touching anything, the children are all asked to sit on a line. And whereas in some early childhood programs, you see them sit in a circle because the circle is the strongest point where all of the energy lies. However, Maria Montessori's concept is to stand or sit on the line. And her concept behind that means balancing yourself. There is a criteria that they do recommend every day that the child walks on a balance beam to get their balance and be able to balance the right and left side of the brain. Now, Maria Montessori, when she got her concept was to gather these children in a setting while all their instruction is given on the line. The facilitator is teaching and training while they're on the line, showing them how to use the various different units on the shelf. Every child knows that there's a rule you cannot touch a work on the shelf unless you've been properly introduced to it. The child then goes and gets that work off the shelf and repeatedly tries to master that work. After mastering it, if they're waiting in line, there could only be three children in that area while participating on that work. They then could circulate themselves throughout all the activities that have been prior introduced to them, and they can go and float around the room without the teacher constantly reintroducing the materials. At that point, the teacher is more of a facilitator, facilitating what it is that child has gained mastery over, and if the child has failed mastery, they document in their anecdotal notes on a clipboard what the child still needs to master. And periodically, they pull the child off to the side to reintroduce that material that the child has failed in, and then shows that child what they made a mistake on, and then sends them back out into the greater classroom. Now, one of the objects that people have talked about quite a bit is called the, what is a pink towers? And it's been rather interesting. All the attention has been drawn to the pink towers. However, Maria Montessori also has some fantastic phonemic awareness language material that she uses for the children. She also has some excellent geographical social studies material for them to learn all seven of the continents and all of the lakes, the Great Lakes and the oceans. And the child begins to take all of the seven continents and they learn them and they learn the geographical shapes and then they trace them and they color them and they do so many things with them until they've mastered all of the seven continents. Then they go over to the Great Lakes and the four, and they go over to after they master the lakes and then they master the rivers and then they go over and then they master the oceans. So they become a great geography. This is a great geography study for them. And then they learn botany as well. They learn all the parts of the flower and botany, the life cycle. So these children are becoming more than studious. They're not having a depth of knowledge. They're not having a breadth of knowledge, but a depth of knowledge, where they're going and learning higher knowledge information. And this is all done on their own. Now, the pink towers I mentioned. The pink towers are really a mathematic didactic where it is used to classify from the largest to the smallest. And the child is given a chance to stack these blocks in order of size. And as they master that, it gives the child an idea from mastering things from a part to a whole. African children have been known to be cooperative learners, and the cooperative educational curriculum was brought over from Africa for African children. And one of their concepts is that we start together and we finish together. No one is left behind. It's a Eurocentric or Westerners thing when we leave children behind. Africans always do things together, and they matriculate together so that every child that is slow to learn, the other child teaches that child until they come along together and master that object or that lesson together. Now, mathematics is a big thing for Montessori. The children not only learn to count and recognize numbers from 1 to 10 or 1 to 100, they begin to master mathematic equations. They work with certain equations. They are able to take various different didactics, multiply, add, and subtract. Now, for example, Maria Montessori's, one of the programs that they market is Hands-On Equation. This is a Montessori material in the premium area. And this is something that the Bormans and Associates, they market. And I don't know exactly how this fits in with Montessori, but it's highly used and recommended by the Montessorian. And they use equations to show the number, and most of this is hands-on, not just written and documentation of numbers at the board, but hands-on so they can actually get involved kinesthetically and feel these numbers and see them. So mathematics is a great one. They also work with the deeds. And the child has to first be introduced to this material, so the teacher has to be well acquainted with the material. Now, let me go back to another segment which may be different for most of you teachers, ladies and gentlemen. There's a segment that they've designed for Montessori and it's called The Spirit of the Child, where the child learns to create peace in their environment. It is a whole unit, and the unit that is on peace, it has a lot to do with the child internalizing peace. Most people don't understand that you can have a world that's in chaos, but if you have vowed and decided that you would internalize peace within yourself, the peace within you will be actually brought to those environments to also change the atmosphere. So the Montessori equipment is designed to create peace within the child and to create order within the child. That is why the balance beam is so important, to show the child how to rebalance himself and how to respect others, because there is never any fighting over toys, because it is not allowed, because everyone should practice the rules that there's only three people in one area. And everyone cleans their area and put things back on the shelf and makes it ready for the next person out of respect. So there's a certain amount of order in the curriculum of Montessori, and that order is abided by the children. They don't destroy their toys, and they don't call them toys. They call them work. So that right up front, the child knows he's going to work. He respects and honors that. They prepare their own food for their snack. In a Montessori setting, children will go over, the food will be left out for them to slice, dice, and to prepare. And they're taught how to use the equipment, the knives, the spoons, or what have you. They do things in the sensory session, from washing clothes to washing dishes to pouring pitchers of water and stringing things and creating things. And the interesting part is the secular motion of using colors and crayons to circle things in a certain direction to prepare them for writing. These are all preparation skills that have been sought out way before they've even gotten to the classroom, and the benefit of using them and what the outcome should be. Maria Montessori wanted to service low-income families, and she also wanted every family to be able to afford her services. So somewhere along the line, her material was written specifically for the home school. So there's a number of parents who have gone to get Maria Montessori's things and implemented them in their home school. Now there is quite a few facilitators who are now training and developing parents who have child care centers in the home, and they're called, and it's called Montessori in the Home. Montessori does require that you get credential and license under them. They are not connected to the state, so the state does not govern them. However, they have their own regulations in order to be licensed under them. Maria Montessori has shared the platform with many people like John Dewey, and their philosophy, they're similar in some ways. Now, there are a number of other curriculums out there, which I won't even get into today, but what I'd like to say is many people have decided to implement a portion of Montessori in their curriculum. I worked in the school where I was hired as a Montessori teacher and as a traditional teacher as well. However, because part of our building was house Montessori and the other part traditional, I had the option of using either or. I have taught Montessori Japanese children. I had over 26 Japanese children who did not speak any English. I had to use an interpreter. However, these children were very familiar with Montessori. I didn't have to do anything but float around and observe them. They knew exactly what to do. They had started with Montessori at infant stage and matriculated to a kindergarten level. Montessori has a long history, and it has shown such benefit. A large amount of people who don't understand Montessori, they tend to question it. What is it doing? Why is there no order? Why is the child running around without supervision? Now, that's the part I want to get into, leadership. Leadership is everything to Montessori teachers. And matter of fact, they just created a curriculum where you can go in and get your leadership license training. And this training shows you how to manage the school of a Montessori in school. Montessori is not disorganized. It is not something that someone could write off. It is very, very organized and very effective, I think, because I've had the opportunity of sending my children through a Montessori didactic for a year, as well as working in the capacity of a Montessorian. I was trained on the job. I am not licensed in this area, but was trained by the directresses. They are not called teachers. They are called directresses. And these directresses are highly trained. And sometimes they do facilitate and do training of the trainer. And universities can allow them to come to your school, and they bring their institution to you and teach you on the job, which is what happened in my case. So I've always valued this training of Montessori because I knew how beneficial it could be to our children. I knew that they could learn from this. And understanding the leadership part means you must understand the spiritual side of the child, making sure that all of the stuff that we do with the child means nothing unless we develop their spirit. Now, here's what I want you to zone in on, because we are a spiritual institution here. I want you to zone in on the fact that once the child finds peace within themselves and stabilizes himself, then anything that's going on the outside, they can overlook it because there's peace going on the inside of them. Now, where does the spirituality come from, you might ask? All human beings have a spirit, and we must allow the child to develop their spirit, and we must harness the child's spirit, show the child that they have to remain civil and function as a prudent human being. When this is done in each child before any lesson is taught, the child has a conscience. At a certain age, children's conscience kick in, and they become morally inclined. Some say that children can't be moral until a certain age, but they become morally inclined. What is right? What is wrong? How to treat others? And the group concept. If we could continue this spiritual teaching for this child all the way through high school, if we never taught another lesson in math or science or social studies, we would create a civil human being who could function in society. We have put so much attention on academics that we have failed to train the child in developing their spirit. And we've let that go along the wayside. And some children are not fit to function in the classroom because they lowered their level of a prudent human being. Above all things, when you're learning, it is important to have good character and good conduct. We go through the ritual of giving the children all of the rules the first couple of weeks, and we drill them and drill them, but a child doesn't learn rules that way. They must be able to write their own rules by virtue of that rule having a personal relationship to them, and they must internalize each one of these rules so that they can begin to respect it for themselves. And that's a part of it, learning respect. Most of our children are taught that you don't have to respect that teacher and you don't have to behave. And if they go through life, they can't learn because they have to learn to respect themselves and others in order to engage in learning. That pompous and arrogant attitude will not allow them to advance themselves to the level of growing, developing into a spiritual, sound human being. Now, Maria Montessori put a lot of attention on the spirit of the child. And she also watched the child and observed the child as they developed their spirit. And just as children are exposed to bad spirits, just as grown-ups are, we have to intervene when the child's spirit has been tainted with falsehoods and things that can make them unhealthy. And we have to zoom in, change that, intercept it, and make a difference in the child's life. Because if we don't, the child may grow up and be a brilliant person, but be a callous, sociopath, disconnected human being, which has no place in society. Now, we have to make up our mind. Are we breeding? Is it a breeding ground in the school for misfits, sociopaths, kleptomaniacs? Are we creating sound rules in our class that we don't steal, we don't lie, we don't covered other people's material things. As we do this for the child, we help the child to learn how to behave. We help the child to live with himself or herself. Yes, they have to learn to live with themselves. Sometimes a child's conscience could get the best of them, just as it does with an adult. So therefore, we want to make sure that child's spirit is sound at all times. If they have odd against anyone in the classroom, we have to teach them to ask for forgiveness, to ask for pardoning, somebody to beg your pardon, so that each day they start the slate clean all over again. Montessori's classrooms are fantastic to watch. They're just like little honeybees. When you walk in the classroom, everybody knows their place, and they're circulating and transitioning and moving, and the teacher gets out of the way to let them go to work. And as they quickly go to work, you get your pen and your pad and your clipboard, and you go to work observing. You make intercessions. You make judgment calls as to who needs to start over again, as to who has not mastered what. So all you do is facilitate and train. You don't tell the child what to think. You don't give the child your biased beliefs, and you don't pass your biased concepts on and partialities on to a child. You let them form their own. You tell them what is decent and in order, and show them by telling them this is what's decent and in order. Believe you me, they will learn what is decent and in order after you tell them that, because they will look for it. But you don't pass your biases on about prejudice, about dislikes or likes, because that child will go on becoming prejudiced because you taught him to be prejudiced and biased. Yes, we can teach children to become prejudiced. Children are innocent. They don't have the ability to perform discrimination and partiality until adults tell them to distinguish and differentiate. It's important that we don't allow our biases to overflow into these young children's lives. Now, we are looking for peace, aren't we? We're looking for that child to become stable and sanctuary into peace so that that peace within the curriculum will allow that child to grow up looking for peace and to create peace around him. Now, the African-American curriculum is a great curriculum as well. It can be combined with the Maria Montessori program to give you a wholesome curriculum. This is exactly what I've decided to do, to take the better of both worlds and bring them together. Maria Montessori's curriculum is available to anyone who wants to adapt it and use it. There's so many adaptations of the curriculum being used in the home setting for those homeschools and for those child developments in the home. Now, when you get your license, you must remember that you have to get credential, AMS or AMI, and I think they just recently came out with a new one. But this license allows you to travel abroad and work in other international Montessori schools. This license allows you to become a professional and work in different capacities. No, you can't use it in the public school. It's a different credential. You will have to use it in Montessori setting only. Now, there are several online programs, one in Canada that you can sort out, and there is several programs online that you can also seek out. And once you go online, you can look up the leadership program if you already have a child care and you only want to learn the managerial program and the leadership. Those programs are now available. Even those child development directresses who would like to have Montessori in a home, that's available as well. Now, Montessori in a home can be a non-traditional program that is not licensed. And those are for those people who have a daycare in the home and they don't want the child care. Montessori is a school. It's not just a daycare. They actually teach, okay? Now, you have birth to age 6, and then you can go on to elementary and get an endorsement. And in some public schools, they will hire you to teach Montessori. Some teachers carry both licenses, Montessori as well as the elementary license. Now, I want to say to all of you listeners out there, you providers, if you haven't formed an association. You need to form an association where you can come together and talk about things such as developing, training, and utilizing some of the best practices under Maria Montessori. It is fantastic. I have been twice over blessed by her materials and utilizing them in language. They're excellent materials for reading readiness. Her materials for the didactics in reading and language are superior. The children learn to read extremely fast. They learn all the spelling rules and decoding with the murmur diphthongs, also learning how to do the diagrams and getting the child to learn decoding skills. So they're using a slide rule so they can slide into those words and understanding the long vowels and the short vowels. It teaches these children to pick up reading very rapidly. So you definitely want to consider it. Maria Montessori is something you might even want to consider adapting to your existing curriculum so that you will have a profound curriculum that will deal with the child's soul and spirit. Why am I so adamant about the child's soul and spirit? Children's souls need to be governed, and they need to be managed in the classroom. One of the biggest things that you're going to have a problem with as a teacher is your managerial skills with the child. If the child's spirit is so unruly and you cannot get the child to govern their own spirit, then you have to use different methods such as reinforcement, positive reinforcement. We never put our hands on the child. We never get physical to put our hands on a child. But however, there's various teachers that will tell you we have corporate punishment in effect. Corporate punishment or not, ladies and gentlemen, you have to be prepared. When you put your hands on a child, you are standing alone in most districts. They will not reinforce you or back you in physically putting your hand on a child. That's where they draw the line. You allow that child to use motivational, positive reinforcers, and if TIMOS won't get it, then you might have to go to the administration to separate a child from the school. But you don't physically whip anyone in the classroom. That is definitely not something that might be important. Now, I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being a part of this segment, and thank you for allowing me to introduce you to Maria Montessori and her concept. It is definitely something that the teachers might already be using. If not, those early childhood teachers, definitely consider bringing the pink blocks into your classroom. Know that Maria Montessori is very professional. It is profoundly professional. Everywhere you go in any part of the continent, you can find Maria Montessori's concepts. Her concepts are profoundly well sought out. Maria Montessori, with a background as an MD, as a doctor, has allowed her to explore the details as to why she wrote the curriculum in a manner that she did. She was very brilliant in putting together the mathematics part of it, the sensorian part of it, as well as looking at the geography side and the botany side. So you got children that are infants and toddlers learning about botany and geography. So these little souls are walking around talking so intelligently, and you are just profoundly out of your mind because this child is able to matriculate, process and calculate and be able to come to you and reason. It's important when you see a child that can process and reason. Ladies and gentlemen, go out and find the materials. You can go to the library. They're available for you. And I want to tell you thank you so much for joining me. And we're going to go out of here with the success song today, ladies and gentlemen. Join me.
That's different. world is ready, the time is right. It's time that we unite.
We unite.
Together we can do it.
I know.
Together we can. Together we can do it. Yes, we can.
Located at 2004 Camerfield Avenue and that's in Commerce, California. Their number is 323-888-6626. You might want to call them. The Kids Advance Company is a family-owned business that supplies high-quality Montessori learning materials, and it's affordable at a price that schools and parents can afford. Then there's the Laughing Star Montessori at 8725 Davis Road in Mainville, Ohio. That number is 513-683-5682. Now, these numbers may have changed. However, you can write them if you like to. And the continent units for the early childhood and the elementary classes offer a sequence of sets and materials. They also have a large supply. Then finally, the last one we have is the Learning Store by Lakeview. Lakeview is a big store, ladies and gentlemen, for teachers, and that's at 13797 Riverside Drive East at the Windsor, Ontario, Canada. And that number is 519-735-5005. Please check these stores out, because those teachers who would like to purchase materials and supplies, you can go and check these facilities out, write them, or even go online after talking with them and place your orders and buy the materials you need for your center. You only need a few pieces to start off with your Montessori, and then you add on, and a large amount of things can be made. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to the library, buy the books to give you instructions of how to make a lot of your materials. And that's what you're going to need, is a large amount of materials, and handmade materials are definitely encouraged. Ladies, I'd like to thank you for being a part of this segment, our 16th segment, talking about Montessori. Now, I just want to remind you that the leadership aspect of Montessori is very important. They are highly trained, skilled administrators who have training courses all over the country, and their main thing is to have teachers skilled and equipped. And there are programs that you can take on to become an administrator, not necessarily just a directorship, but an administrator where you manage the facility and the business aspect. And the leadership part of it is very important. They do tons of training online now, and there are programs that are well put together in Canada that they have put online under a blackboard and the whiteboard where you have hands-on experience with the didactics. And, yes, it is going to be a lot of work. It's not something you want to step into and think that you're going to just kick back and that's going to happen for you. You got to put forth an effort at anything. And, ladies, if you are elementary teachers or early childhood teachers, it's okay to pick up an additional credential in this area, and you can advance yourself as a specialist. Maria Montessori made this program develop in Italy so that most of the jobs are international, ladies. So for those of you who are ready to take that international journey across the rivers, please do. I urge you to take an opportunity where you can take a sabbatical. Some of these teachers are working in different foreign countries, working with children with foreign language, different things where you can learn something new. But don't be afraid to venture out and find out more about it, because we certainly have to do something with our classroom. We have to look at different curriculum. And there is another program in Italy that they are basically using a large amount of equipment and a new curriculum. And, however, Maria Montessori is the one that is more accessible to us here in the United States. I'd like to thank you for being a part of our show. And this segment definitely continue to market as a segment that you continue to listen to. And lock your dial in, ladies and gentlemen. Lock your dial in. Please lock that dial in and join us tomorrow, the same time, same place, here at 646-478-0270. We look forward to having you in our classroom, and we look forward to being a servant to you. And we say to all those people who participated today, go out and research Maria Montessori further and make a decision if it's something you need in your classroom. Or if you're not in the classroom yet and you're considering it, think about it. Go to the library and read up on Maria Montessori. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And you have a great day and enjoy the rest of your evening. And on that note, I say, au revoir.